Good afternoon. Hello. If we could have your attention, we'd like to welcome you to the study session for the Mesa City Council for Monday, February 6th, 2012. And the first item on our agenda is to review the agenda for tonight's regular council meeting. Page 2, items 3A through 3C. Items 3D through 4D. Councilmember Finter.
So all those folks that think we never approve liquor licenses in downtown Mesa, I think they can probably rethink that with Monsterland going in on 3E. Hopefully that message gets out there.
Monsterland.
That Alex has looked at the
council. He wants monsters.
There's about five things I could say about that, and I'm not going to say a single one.
That's because you've already announced you're running.
It's too late now. All right, 4D?
No.
Okay.
I do. I have 4D. When do you get to 4D?
4 Delta?
Yeah.
We're there.
Outstanding.
You want 4 Delta?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? It would be better if I actually turned my mic on.
Vice Mayor.
I would just like to have some more information on 4D with the 13 replacement portable transportation ventilators. Hi, Mary. I pulled this out because I've used these things in the past, and I'm not impressed with them.
Mm-hmm.
So what... I mean, is the idea of these things is that you see them in the hospital all the time, you hook them up, the patient becomes intubated, which we can do in the field as paramedics, you hook them up to a ventilator in the hospital, and they're sitting in a nice hospital environment, and that helps them breathe. And they work much, much better in a bag valve mask. But just my personal experience in the field is these things are cumbersome, and we buy them every once in a while, and then we never use them.
Vice Mayor Summers, you bring up a good point, and that's why these are brand new. I don't know if you've used these particular brand, because in the past they have been very cumbersome, and you're exactly right. Because of the weight of the other ones we used to have, they were just too much trouble to take out as another piece of equipment. These are very lightweight, very small, very compact, and these are both for adults, for kids. They monitor the CO levels. They do much more than our old ventilators used to do. And because of the size and because of, you know, we're really concentrating on CPR and ventilating our patients very, very well, this is going to help on our save rates. We've done a lot of research, and this company is the only company that has everything in the small package.
Of that particular size?
Of this particular size, this particular, you know, that it works for adults and children and all the above.
I'd actually like to see one before I'm comfortable. Do we have to have this done this week, or can we do it in 2 weeks, and can I see it in 2 weeks?
Well, we can see. This is a grant purchase. This is grant dollars that we need to have spent by a certain time.
When do we have to have it spent?
And I believe it was, this is the end of the 11 grant, so I think we have another month or two. So we'll see if we can get one purchased. Get a sample of one. Yeah, they've been researching them. We'll get one that the company can give us, and you could surely look at it. If we can bring it to you and let you see it, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
We'll have the company let you see what we're talking about. But we have a respiratory tech on our department that researched these very, very thoroughly and says this is like state-of-the-art on ventilators. And we'll be happy to get one and show it to you. That won't be a problem.
That's what I would like to do that. Is there? Can we? Chris, how do you? Do you want to continue it 2 weeks and then we'll prove it?
Well,
2 weeks?
Let's see. I think our next council meeting is actually going to be the
27th.
Is that correct? Yes, because of the
20th.
We've got a few things happening, President's Day, and yeah. So I mean, I don't know what the grant.
Yeah, I think we have a month or so. So we can get one for you and let you see it.
Okay. So we can just continue this to the next meeting. We'll be okay with our grant.
Yeah.
We won't have any problems because I don't want to lose the grant either, because if things turn out to be pretty good, then there's no reason to use it. I'm just a little hesitant to.
Sure, absolutely. We did a lot of
experience.
Absolutely, not a problem. We've done a lot of research, and we'll be happy to show it to you and show you just how much it's going to make a difference when we treat patients.
Okay.
All right,
I'll even tube a patient.
What's that?
I'll even tube somebody.
Okay, there you go. Any other questions?
okay, we'll do it on a mannequin.
All right, thank you.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Mary. I appreciate it. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
Items 4E through 4H.
4I through 4L. 4M through 4P. 5A through 7B. Ms. Spinner.
Mayor and Council, on item 7, there was a typo in the agenda title, and it does not set forth the date of the public hearing. And just to be sure that we are being consistent with the way we've always handled ordinances in the past, I'm recommending that we remove it for this week, and we will introduce these ordinances or bring them back for introduction in 2 weeks and for consideration by the council 2 weeks after that.
Any objection to that? Okay, we'll go ahead and remove items 7A, 7B, and put them on the agenda at the, what do we decide? It's the 27th?
27th, and then the first meeting in March.
Right, okay. Anything else on that page? Items 8A, or item 8A. Okay. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the photo safety contract.
Good afternoon. I'm Bill Peters. I'm a commander with our police department. The traffic unit and the photo safety unit are one of my areas of responsibility. Purpose of our photo safety program is to enhance our traffic safety within the city of Mesa by supplementing traditional law enforcement methods for changing driver behavior and improving it. This presentation will cover four different things: the current configuration, our program enhancements that we are projecting to put in and have put into this program, some recommendations for the future of the program, and the future discussion that we anticipate having regarding the program before it continues. Okay, a little bit of the history. This program, the current contract was executed on January 27th of 2006. It's a five-year program that ends after the acceptance, or 5 years from the acceptance of the last camera. So this program, this contract, expires on February 27th of this year. It was initially financed with $3.5 million for ATS, American Traffic Solutions, proprietary equipment, and we also leased some cameras to the tune of about $58,000 a month, which we've now paid off. This also included the equipment and the vans. The contract has been amended twice, both in December of 2007 and also in May of 2009, to focus and continue focus on our safety, part of which was involving transferring some of the fixed cameras from intersections to school zones. Under the current configuration, there are five vans with four ATS mobile speed van cameras. The fifth van is really a spare van in case the other van needs to go down for service or maintenance. There are 34 city-owned cameras that are installed in 30 different intersections throughout the city, and four are installed at school safety zones, both at Brimhall Junior High and also at Fremont Junior High. Additionally, there are two ATS-owned cameras that we've installed at school zones at Rhodes Junior High. Just to give you some basic data that we've been able to collect, in 2005, which is prior to this contract, acceptance of this contract, there were 648 crashes at the 30 intersections where we currently have the cameras. In 2010, that number was down to 370 crashes, which is a little over 53% reduction in crashes at those intersections. Photo safety is part of that. Traffic pattern changes, as well as working with our traffic engineering, has also created part of that reduction.
Councilman Richens, I think, has a
Councilmember,
I'm presuming a future slide will talk about which of those intersections have been rebuilt and re-engineered for better safety. In addition, as we talk about crash reduction, I know some of those intersections have been rebuilt and are much safer, and the cameras actually moved on some of those. Can you quantify that?
In some we have. That's not within this presentation. I think we'll talk about that with the future development of our program.
Okay.
We wanted to find out what that meant as far as savings or hours, and we took a snapshot, and I'll tell you this is just a snapshot of our crashes throughout the city. About 13% involve injuries at any given time, and the remainder are non-injury crashes. Working with our traffic reconstructionist sergeants, he said it takes at least three officers on an injury crash to investigate that and really being extremely conservative. Takes about a little over 5 hours to do the investigation with those combined time with those officers and an hour to write the report. In a non-injury accident, two cars are usually rolled out for those. It takes a little over 2 hours of their time to do a simple non-injury accident and another hour to write the report. And again, these are extremely conservative figures. I'm sure you've driven through the city and seen an accident in an intersection. It takes a lot of cars to really adequately shut it down safely. Just using those times, you're looking at a savings of over $41,000. And more importantly to us, it's over 6 months' worth of a full-time patrol officer out being proactively patrolling on our streets. When we moved cameras to the school zones, we did do a study on that as well. In the first column there, you'll see the three school zones where we currently have cameras. In the 35-mile-an-hour zone, those first figures are prior to the installation of photo safety cameras. After the implementation of photo safety cameras, we saw a sharp reduction. So, for instance, at Rhodes at Junior High, the average speed in a 35-mile-an-hour zone, that's with the 35-mile-an-hour school zone cameras flashing, was 46.6 miles an hour. After the installation of photo safety, that dropped down to 36.8 miles an hour, and the other schools saw similar results. When the school is not in session, the cameras are still active. The speed limit changes from 35 to 45, and you can still see a significant reduction in the speed at all three of those schools. With the first one at 45 miles an hour at Rhodes, prior to photo safety, it was 48.2 miles an hour. Following photo safety, it was 42.6 miles an hour, so a much safer area. And while school's not in session, I think we all understand that those schools are still magnets for children. They're still doing after-school activities and sports and everything else. We took a look at citations, and these figures aren't quite as dramatic as they appeared here through May, but they're still they're consistent in that with our photo safety citations that we mail out more to outside Mesa residents than Mesa residents. And what that tells us is that it changes behavior within our community. So those folks that are familiar with the intersections, familiar where our school zones are with photo safety, drive slower, those that are Mesa residents. And that's the goal of this program. So now, again, kind of a snapshot, fiscal year 2010-2011 on our photo safety. Photo red lights, we adjudicated over 13,000. By that mean they were properly served and they went to court or to driving school and they were adjudicated in some manner or another. There is a cost to that currently during that time frame, and it was costing us as a city almost $40 a ticket at the photo red light intersections. However, in the speed enforcement zones, those being the fixed, either the speed on green, the school zones, or the photo radar vans, we adjudicated almost 21,000, and we were able to recover over $65 a citation for each adjudicated citation. Further breaking down our speed cameras, the ones that produce the most citations are our school zones. 62% of our speed violations come from school zones. The remaining, we have 12% that come from speed on green, and those are cameras that are at intersections that are still active. If the light is green, they're picking up the speeding through them, and 26% from the mobile speed vans. So schools are still our most problematic as far as speed conditions and issues. Now, understanding this contract was currently getting able to expire, we did take a very close look at the program to see where we can make improvements, both internally within the police department and also in terms of customer service with people who receive the citations and how that process gets adjudicated. So I have a list of just a few things that we've gone through to make it more clear to our community and more clear to those people getting citations on how to handle it. One is on the notice of violation. It more clearly, now those are citations where, or they're not citations or notices, where we don't know who the driver is, but we send a notice of violation to the registered owner saying, we don't know who this driver is, just want you to know your vehicle was seen speeding or running a red light. If you want to tell us who it was, you can. If not, no big deal. We made it very clear that the person is under no obligation to identify the driver and made the language of that. We didn't want to make it that they felt like they had to tell who the driver was. We also made the citations. If a person had a question about it, the information was in there, but it's somewhat scattered, so we centralized it. And if people now have a question about the citation they received from Photo Safety, it clearly says where you can go with the vendor, with the city court, and with the police department, both on phone, in person, or internet. Process service had been an issue in that. And when we looked at the program, there was really no way for a person who received a citation through a process server, if they didn't agree with the service, who to contact to voice a complaint. So now we have a form that we send out. It's a form from the Mesa Police Department that tells the person who receives it what a properly served citation is and how that occurs. And more importantly, if they don't agree with how it was served, who to contact if they have a complaint, so we can track that and monitor it. We also, there is a vendor employee who is assigned to the court. So when people have a citation and they're fighting it with the court, the witness is the vendor employee. That employee much more identifiable. We didn't want anybody to think that it was a representative of the police department or somebody else. We wanted to make sure that the people who received citations understood who they were speaking to was, in fact, a vendor employee. We also scripted what that vendor employee can say, so they have a set sheet of exactly what words that they can use to further make sure that there's no confusion. We reviewed and updated our photo safety policy to make sure that our policy was in fact reflective of the practice that we were doing. We enabled a computer at a police headquarters people who were contesting or had questions about their citation could view the citation on the computer as it occurred. So there's a video feed that shows what happened, and they're able to do that now at the police headquarters as opposed to having to go to a vendor and then get bounced around. We also examined our investigative protocol with our photo safety unit to ensure that we're using the best practice within the law enforcement community for properly identifying a driver. So those are the program improvements that we have currently made. Those are all in place now. Now we're to the stage where we're looking for recommendation on continuing our two-year contract extension with the vendor. Again, I have to emphasize our program, unlike I know there's been some others in the state, our program has always been specific to public safety and to reducing traffic crashes and doing everything we can to keep our community safe. Our recommendation is to negotiate and execute this two-year contract extension. That will allow us to fully utilize the equipment that we currently now have paid off our leases on that is proprietary to the vendor. It's aging, but we're convinced it has at least another two good years out. And the way I've explained it is, it's like you paid off your five-year loan for your car. You still got a couple more good years left in it. It doesn't make any sense to turn it in and get a new one at this stage. All of these have been, all of our recommendations here for improving it have been supported by the vendor and executed. As we continue, we want to be able to, part of the changes that we have in our new contract are to relocate some intersection cameras to school zones. We have two other schools that we'd like to put fixed cameras at. We also want to reduce our speed camera vans from four active vans down to two. We still want to be able to use that as a tool in order to monitor and collect data in certain areas where we're having speed problems. prior to the expiration of this two-year contract, and we're estimating about a year from now, about 12 months or so from now, we want to be able to come back to council and discuss in detail this program. And Councilmember Richards, I think this is where we would come in and talk in more detail about the specific intersections and how that related with traffic engineering and design changes. We want to review the program with you, discuss the cost analysis, how we're deploying it, and then determine as a council and a city if we were to go to another RFP for vendor and extending contracts.
Councilman Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. Our Public Safety Committee had this similar presentation a few months ago, and we came to the conclusion that the combination of the photo safety cameras, red light cameras, and reconstructed intersections have had a major impact on accidents at those intersections. It's really the combination, the overall safety program that we have, we think that's playing an important role. And it was clear to us on the committee as well that the cameras in the school zone areas have had a significant public safety impact in terms of reducing speeds in that area. And so it was our committee's recommendations that we did support the department recommendations on extending the program here. The other thing that I think is important is that over the past couple of years, I'm sure all of us have received emails or contacts from constituents talking about various issues that are raised with the program. And I think what you see here in terms of the program enhancements, that the department has made a very good effort to go through and identify areas of improvement, and which is in direct response, again, to either comments by our employees or by our residents, and I think that helps make the program stronger. And so the other issue, our committee also supported the reduction in the photo safety vans, but we also are encouraged by the department's discussion of perhaps using the vans that were remaining to work with neighborhoods that have particular speeding programs. Because, you know, we can lend the speed trailer to neighborhoods, but oftentimes that doesn't do it enough. But we think the possibility of having the photo safety vans being it working with the neighborhoods, going into the neighborhood, we think that can offer a good opportunity for further speed reduction and safety. So our committee recommended that we move ahead with the department recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember. Any other questions, comments? Councilman Richards.
Yeah, I think in the future, as we look at how this comes forward, it's going to, I think we really need to be prepared in 12 months to have a very intensive conversation about the data and how we spend our money improving intersections and really identifying ways we can design safety. I would rather design safety into our program, which has much longer term effects than doing it because of the flash of a camera. You know, it's going to pay long-term benefits both in traffic flow, but also in our safety. And so I just always bristle at the statistic that says we reduce crashes by this much when, you know, there's so many other factors that went into that. And to let that just stand there, just, you know, it's kind of sorry. But in the future, you know, the mobile speed vans are tough to do, particularly when we put them in places that have some natural speed trap appearances, and we're doing a good job at evaluating where speeds may be under the 85th percentile, which is a technical term I learned from Dan Clevenger, and I thought I'd roll that out and see if I sounded smart. But thank you. We're evaluating those speeds so we can make sure that speed limits really match the conditions, match what people are doing safe, that are how they're traveling safely. And then the big issue, though, the big win here, if there could be one identified, is the school zones. To reduce the speeds and increase safety that much, and it is so sad that it was on the backs of tragedy that we discovered this methodology. But, you know, that is the big win in this whole story, is the significant safety that's been increased in school zones. And that is worthy of a continuing conversation. Thanks.
Councilman Fender.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate this presentation and all the positives that are coming out of this. Early on, I was one of those that Councilmember Kavanaugh is referring to that had this list of complaints and worries and concerns. And so when I sat down with Commander Peters and others and shared those, what I loved hearing, the potential coming out of the police department and ATS as the partners in this, is we have the opportunity to maybe make this program a model to not only the state, but maybe to the country. And I, as you saw the pages and pages of enhancements, I think we're well on that road to being able to have other communities look at it and see what's the best practice and what's the best way to take a very controversial program and make it a success and improve safety. So I appreciate that vision coming out of the police department and all the good work that's done here. It's not exactly how I would do things, and there's areas, but I think we've made major strides in improving, so really appreciate that. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you so very much. This is a difficult subject because there are people who get just a tad bit emotional about this, and we hear from them. And in many ways, I have to sympathize with their passion because I think how we implement this program, more so than almost any other public safety, because it is so visible and because it does have the potential to be interpreted differently than perhaps we mean it, we have to be very, very careful. We found there are some real successes. We found that that not only do we get reduced speeds and safer zones when we put these cameras in school zones, a funny thing is that we get public support also because they can understand and accept the fact that safety is tantamount in a school zone. And they believe our motives are pure, you might say. You can't say the same thing about vans, and especially where we choose to put them. And many ways you can't say that about how they experience, many people experience the process. I would agree with Councilmember Finter. I think you've been willing to listen to some of those, what I believe are realistic observations, you might want to say, and have worked hard to try and address those issues. I think as we go forward, at least from my standpoint, the vans are something I really want to take a special look at because I think we have a hard time connecting with the public who truly doubts that our purposes in placing vans at certain intersections and certain have a pure motive. And that motive, as we say it, is to increase safety. I like what Councilmember Kavanaugh said about making those more of a proactive kind of a thing, and I think there are areas in the city where people would actually welcome that kind of enforcement because there are specific issues that people have with their neighborhoods and with streets. And I think there are other ways that we can make those people who are even visiting our communities aware. I think you can look at those statistics as far as the number of citations mailed out of the city. And we can pat ourselves on the back to say we've obviously created a change in behavior with city residents. But you almost want to say that, well, does that really help when we still have everyone who's driving down that street from out of city still speeding? Right. So if our objective is really to change behavior, we want to change behavior of everybody. We want everyone to drive more slowly, not just people who are used to the camera being there. And so I'd really like over the next year as we evaluate this, not only with the data, but to really give some serious consideration to those areas where we can accomplish the real objective, which is to make our streets safer, to have somebody drive in, no matter whether they're driving down that street for the 500th time or for the first time, recognize that this is not a place you should be going more, you should be going faster than X miles an hour, because it is a safety issue. So I hope that as we look at this going forward, that we fine-tune our analysis to really place these in areas where they really do accomplish our goals in a way that the public is more willing to accept, which we have experienced once again with the school zones. And I think we can get there. I think we can get there. And overall, I appreciate the willingness to listen and to be open to suggestions and to real criticism and to not react in a knee-jerk way and just block everything up, but to really take those to heart and do the best you can to improve the procedures. So. Okay, so the direction, do I, do I see? the specific direction?
Well, unless we are, otherwise we're going to move forward with the renewal and then come back to council in a year. That's the direction we're looking for. Yeah.
All right. So the direction is to give staff.
We're moving forward with the renewal, as we stated. What we want to make sure is the council in this direction is we're letting you know we're planning on doing that unless we hear otherwise.
Right.
But then really want, I think the direction, I suspect, is the council would like us to come back. We said a year.
About a year.
So we can get the feedback and do the analysis. And in time, so we make a decision about where we go at the end of this extension.
Yeah. Right. Is that okay with everyone? I see nods across the board. Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is to hear a presentation discuss provide direction related to the Downtown Property Committee building site use recommendations for 5155 East Main. Councilmember Glover, I think this is your committee.
This is my committee. Thank you, Mayor, my fellow council members. I had the privilege of working with different stakeholders. We worked with David Weirs from the DMA board, Cynthia Dunham from the West Mesa CDC, Jared Sacron from Southwest Shakespeare, and then staff from energy, planning, economic development, arts, and real estate. And we gathered together, and what we wanted to do was look at city-owned assets in the downtown area. And the first one that we looked at was 5155. And if you look, Natalie, if you want to put it up. Thank you. When we were looking at the specific site, we realized that, one, it's a very important location because of its proximity to the Art Center. We wanted to enhance and complement what the Art Center has to offer. We took into account the new central main plan and its form-based coding. And what we wanted was to bring verticality to the area. And with light rail stopping right there, it would be a great place for future transit-oriented design and development. We also took into account what the HEAT initiative and what we needed to do to get it ready for future events happening at 5155 or at the Art Center. And so we came up with different ideas. And one of the pictures is a mixed-use concept by Jeremy Jones, who designed the Art Center, which gives a great visual for anybody who's looking at the specific spot of the idea of what we want to accomplish with this space. Is bringing verticality and something that can complement the architecture of the Art Center.
Once again, this is conceptual. We do not have a building that's planned to go there.
It's
conceptual.
The point of this presentation. We came up with short, mid, and long-term recommendations. For the short term, what we're going to do is focus on right now for the Republican national debate. We invested some money to put into the aesthetics of the building so that we can have it for the Republican national debate, and this will enable not only Southwest Shakespeare to utilize and activate this site after the debate, but also for play ball when it comes for spring training and for other exhibits that can be shown at that site. For the midterm, we have that the short-term uses can continue as the space is available, and we're also interested in finding a higher education institution that would go there for a short time before they want to expand and grow out into the community. For long term, we want whatever building goes there, we want it to have a mixed use purpose. It can be for higher education. What I'm really sold on is the idea of having a Mesa Visitor Center there so that whoever comes to the city can be greeted by the Art Center. We could house the Chamber and the CVB there and get extra use for different departments for the city as well. And for whatever is there, that we want to make sure that it complements the uses of the Art Center as well. For our next property that we're reviewing is the former Federal Post Office at Pepper and McDonald. And we're going to see what would be the best use for that area and look at what we have to do to get around there.
Just a question. You say the consideration is the deed restriction. There is a deed restriction on there, right?
Yes.
Because we got that from the federal government. So, right.
It was both a post office and it was the office for the
it's been several
Forest Service.
There's a Forest Service.
Because it's kind of a split building.
And so that restriction says that we need to use it for... when we say parks, some recreational,
cultural
Really?
Recreation,
parks.
Yeah, it's a pretty strict narrow definition right now.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's consistent with any property we get from the federal government.
As we know,
I mean,
out at Riverview. Yes,
I was going to say, we're doing the same thing at Riverview, where it's restricted as to what we can use.
That's correct.
Yeah, Vice Mayor.
Just out of curiosity on that, in the Riverview property, we're looking to move that to another location. Is that something you could do on the building, too? Well,
that's something we probably need to look at with the committee. I'm not aware. I don't know. I mean, I don't know we've even asked that question, so we have to look
at
that.
I just asked it. Throw it to the committee to look. I'm just curious because it seems. Using that for arts and cultural may work, but that's a hell of an encumbrance if we can move that off to another location. Perhaps.
Well, that's not the only one. It has to be for a public use that, and please correct me if I'm
that's
wrong.
That's correct.
That conforms with what the city is doing now.
Yes.
So we could use it for city activities, public activities, education. Arts and culture, education. That would be
in there. I don't think
I
don't, so.
I don't think. I don't think because that's the city's not doesn't offer education. I mean, if we offered art classes, I guess. But using it for some other education, that would probably be a stretch. Councilman Kavanaugh.
Thank you. By way of background, when the city applied for this building transfer from the federal government, we were competing for other applications for the project, including an application from a company from either Maine or Massachusetts that wanted to make it SRO housing for homeless. And the city's proposal was that we wanted to use the building for basically a cultural facility assets, and we told the federal government at that time we were looking at a combination of expansion for the Arizona Museum of Natural History and the Mesa Historical Museum. So I think when the feds chose us over the competing proposal, they put in that it needed to be used for, at that time, parks and recreation, cultural
is really
purposes.
The focus, yeah.
The cultural was one of the key issues for that building. Thanks.
I'd rather have that option than not have the building at all. So
it's
a good option to have.
Reason. Yeah. And we are, and it is being used, as Dennis knows, in our tours. It's a great, for now, I mean, it's not necessarily a public, the public's invited, but for purposes of the museums, it's been a great asset for storage and other facilities.
Storage and staging.
Staging and things like that. So it's, I mean, we're using it as an asset. It's just not as far as built.
Full potential?
That is correct.
Well, we think there's things that can be done that can enhance its use.
That's going to be a tough one. I'm looking forward to hearing about that one.
Mayor,
question. Yeah, Councilman Fenter.
For Councilmember Glover. So, in the short term, you mentioned Shakespeare and the
historical museum. Play ball.
Thank you. What if, in this higher education pursuit that we're going through, there's a need or something? How would that work if it came to the forefront that we had that? How do you see that working? Is there some flexibility or?
I see flexibility in it, but we also have to take into account that there are many other places in downtown that we can utilize for the higher education initiative that we're pushing, that there are other buildings and other spaces that we can use and occupy for that.
Mayor and Council, one thing we have to consider, and this is the balance we've had with this building for a long time, is we have this discussion with Chillwater, is we have these kind of interim plans which we want to use to leverage activities and help, whether it's an arts group or whether it's hosting a CNN or play ball. But it's like, at how far do you go with, the improvements, with the idea that if our long-term perspective is maybe we want to take the footprint and do something much larger. So we kind of get, because at some point, the more you put in there, the longer you kind of expect that investment to be in. So we are trying to be very sensitive to that along the way, although it's interesting what a nice coat of paint will do to a building, and people get very interested in it after a while, which is great. We're getting a lot more attention. And I think that council will see, even with the minor, really just on maintenance. We've really not done the maintenance of that building. We're cleaned it up, put some paint on. I think it will, in the short term, we'll be able to host some nice community activities there over the next year and a half, 2 years. And then really the question becomes, is beyond that, a commitment to any group, how far are we willing to go as far as going to that next step of improvements if we really have a longer-term perspective in mind? So I think it's something that we'll probably keep coming to council with different conversations and ideas until we kind of get to that point where maybe we get to the full rebuild out and a nice facility that can accommodate a lot of different interests.
Councilman Fitner.
So as a follow-up then, you know, as the city manager, you see all these puzzle pieces floating around. You know everything that's in play.
Swirling.
Hopefully. So with our pursuits, which we're excited about and the potentials there, you feel like we can cover everything else that we're pursuing and not and take this off the table?
I know there's been some conversations, especially on the educational, higher educational, about possibly using the site. And I think the difficulty we have is that they're already current users there now, and you know how you displace them, and if that educational, unless it's on a grand scale and it's going to be a long-term perspective and not just an interim perspective, I think we have many other interim options for space in the downtown area. As you know, Councilman, we've looked at whether we own it or others own it. There may be options where the city can help out and do things, and I think, again, it has to be. It's hard to talk very specifically until we see those proposals, but I think we really want to keep our long-term goals in mind while still taking advantage of the asset we have and letting people use it, but recognizing that we have maybe some bigger goals and greater investment we want to accomplish down the road.
Councilor Richards.
Yeah, and that was the kind of the concept we struggled with this morning a little bit. You know, which comes first, the long-term goals and vision of the thing, or you know, if you have a proposal come and somebody wants to talk about taking out a piece of property and doing a project, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we'll let the ideal get in the way of the good. So how do we keep that balance?
Well, and I think what you really have to do, and I think it is something that I think certainly with light rail coming and that station coming, I think the discussion, the seriousness of doing something where I think the city should look at this is we really want to bring partners to the table. We want to leverage a partnership that's going to bring something of significance to downtown. That's from a perspective of where we can make a high impact. You know, the area from around City, Municipal Plaza, and the Art Center are significant. And I think we have to be very wise about how we, our decisions in that area. So, and I think part of that is timing. The timing today, the developments come today, could be much different than they might be 2-3 years from now when the infrastructure.
I mean, how many years do you say that? I mean, you know, the timing 10 years ago was
well. And I guess in my mind, I believe, and just a conversation we have oftentimes with developers about Country Club in Maine, we believe that there's a game changer with light rail coming, and at that point, you say that's probably as good as it's going to get at that point. For quite a long time to make that really make a run at it, and the city has to make a decision about how much is willing to put into that facility. Do you want to try to just continue with the current structure as it is? It has limited probably uses because of its configuration and how deep those are and how it sits, or do we really say if we're really serious, you know, we level that building and start planning for the next one?
I think this building is different than other parcels in downtown, though, too. And I would agree with Councilman Richens that sometimes we get too hung up on what we want to see long-term and hoping that it might happen. This one, I mean, I look at that concept, and in this particular property, I can see that happening. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how we're going to pay for it now, but then again, I do know that once that light rail is there, that all of a sudden, that becomes a very, very valuable piece of property, especially as it relates to Arts Center activities. I also know that that based on our chiller conversation, that I don't know that anyone on this council says, gee, my dream 20 years from now is to still have the same buildings on 2051, 55. I don't think anyone would be happy with that. So to me, I think this site is unique in that sense because I think we can really see an end game here. On every other site in downtown, I can visualize how it might, but I don't have the same kind of specific understanding or vision that I do on this particular piece of property.
It's
so
unique. It's unique.
It is unique, which means it creates a unique opportunity.
Yeah.
And I can literally see that happening, and I think eventually we're going to go to a 4- or 5-story building that's going to be related somehow to the Art City. Art Center.
Yeah, that's what we're making.
That it's going to relate to city and community activities. and there's going to be a good mix there. And I actually even believe that we could bring a partner in that could help us accomplish that as far as financing that building because of all the other things that relate to that. So to me, I'm not so concerned. I'm more concerned about doing something that locks us into 5155, and if an opportunity comes along with a potential partner, that we're somehow foreclosed from that opportunity. Right. That concerns me. So I think we need to be very careful in that balancing. Councilmember Richens.
One thing I do want to compliment on process, Councilmember Glover, is the exploration of transition uses, yeah. Short-term, medium-term, long-term. That was very helpful, I think, to kind of think, oh, well, yeah, maybe there is an interim step here that we can take instead of holding something until we get the highest and biggest thing that we can possibly dream. So I really wanted to compliment you on that and encourage that to get carry forward to the other parcel.
The reality, and then I'll get to you, Vice Mayor. The reality is that I think that building will exist when the money shows up to build that building, and where that money comes from will determine when and how. I can't say that about most other pieces in downtown, but this one, I think, I'm pretty confident that something good will happen there. So I do thank you, Councilman Richens, or Glover, for setting the stage for that kind of process, because I think it's important to think in those ways. Now, Vice Mayor.
Well, I agree with most of the comments here. I think what's going to be key is how we make arrangements for how we structure the deals for people who move in here. I mean, clearly, this concept of moving in utilizing this building to help seed the council strategic initiative of education. If an education facility wants to move in here, like Benedictine, we know Benedictine wants to establish a presence, and then in the next 5 years or so, they want to grow. They will naturally grow out of it. What's going to be important in a building like this and many other buildings that you're going to discuss throughout this process is how do we structure those deals that encourages these organizations to grow out of the building so that we're not locked into a 10 or 20 or 30 year agreement, and so that the market can't expand, we can't get the best use out of the building in time. So,
and that's been really the dilemma with some of the educational institutions looking at this building, is it's not necessarily a real long-term perspective. So I think we just need to be careful with that. I think one of the things we need to do is kind of as we go through this process with Councilman Glover's committee is one of the things that would be helpful is we do need to create the expectation of what we're looking at. We want this to be vertical. We want it to be, you know, something significant, because developers today might drive by there and just pass by that site because it looks like it's already got something going and it may not attract. So at some point, we've got to figure out the right way to kind of, I don't know, the right word, promote or make known our expectations so we can begin getting the attention.
Well, and I think we need to be upfront with those who would have a interim use that this is an interim use.
Yeah.
These are our long-term expectations, and we don't know when that'll happen, but this is an interim use. And then they go in with their eyes wide open as to what their term might be. And because the idea is that I think that having a use in there, and we found that out by having Southwest Shakespeare in there, what, Jared, now 2 years, 2.5, 3 years? You're,
Seven.
No, but I mean in that particular building using that particular space? Been a lot that long? Oh, I remember an episode where you were faced with possibly moving out and you didn't. Okay, so. But it's good to see activity in buildings. And so I would very much support whatever we can do to get people in there using that, even if it's not our desired in use, because that will lead to a desired in use and that will create opportunity.
Great.
And for example, having Shakespeare in there, it's great to drive down there at night, see the lights on, you look through the windows, you see people in there. That creates the kind of activity and the feeling that brings on other types of activity. So how do we balance that, I think, is where we're going. Councilmember Finter.
And the perspective I have, or the worry or concern, and we're prevented from speaking of this in public, but as the potential future successes of our higher education outreach go and all the different pieces of the puzzle and the folks that are there, you know, some pressure on finding the right fit and the right place. And I know this committee will be looking at other, you know, areas of downtown, and hopefully they're married very closely, so we have that higher education portion looking at what you're looking at, and somehow they sync together, because it feels like maybe there's a little bit of separation right now, but how exciting the future might be for us in the near future to be able to do what we're doing if we were successful. So,
okay, Councilman Richens.
One last thing, I think it's attachment A that shows the City of Mesa asset opportunities. I think there's a few parcels missing from that conversation in there that we might want to consider adding to really have a broad conversation on all city assets. We do a pretty decent job, but there's a few little things that I just know. So if you could go through that and let's really think more broadly about assets and opportunities related to our assets.
Okay. I think we tend to focus on those assets that are now empty,
yep,
or not used, and I think as part of the entire vision for downtown, we have to think
about how we could use our assets differently,
yeah,
even if they're currently being used more efficiently. And I mean, in terms of, I mean, we provide electricity, gas, water, wastewater, and solid waste in downtown. There's tremendous opportunity just related to the utility sales, let alone the broader sales of property.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's important to note that our interest is not simply a touchy-feely, wouldn't it be nice to have a downtown. There's solid business reasons why this is important to us, because we're losing out on millions and millions of dollars a year in revenue that could go in to support vital city services. And while I love city departments, the fact of the matter is it's better for us to have new money coming in. So we need to not be fixed in an existing current use. If there's another way of doing it that would enhance our ability to create these revenues.
I mean, just a few quick examples to point out. Corner of University Drive and Center, big parking lot, part of the convention center. The big grassy lot between the convention center and the Irving School, that's not identified, but perhaps that could be an interesting building site that the city owns.
Parking lots?
Nothing on the other side of University by the United Way building. They do identify most of the parking lots, but I know that there's a few other assets. So maybe if you're going to look at this, let's really make sure we get everything on the map and marked in red. And
Councilmember Richens' office. Oh, yeah. That's marked.
Councilmember Fenter.
And the Central Main plan, I thought that also envisioned maybe 1 million square feet of this area just north of Main in this whole complex as a potential.
Right.
So I'm hoping that we're thinking really big, and those light rail stations, I think, are the key, everything that, and I know you guys know this, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, for example, one thing that really I was enamored with on that plan is the idea that we look at things like Pepper between Center and Centennial, and converting that to another use and making that a whole block. I mean, no, there are no plans to do that right now. But I think that's an important way to think and to change things. I have one quick question on this A, and I'm sorry that most of you don't have attachment A. It shows that they're on the corner, the southeast corner of McDonald and First Avenue. Are you looking at that? Property 11. Does the city not own or control that property to the south of that, between that and the South Center campus? I thought we controlled all of that.
All the way around. Down south to the storage.
Is that just a problem on the map? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hello. There's that. Yeah. It's like a. Yeah, I know there's a lot there that we...
Storage.
It's got to be our lot, because we're putting all kinds of equipment on there.
There may be an agreement there in place for some kind of storage for light rail construction or something.
Well, but
like
that's temporary. It's not permanent.
Yeah, could you look at that?
Maybe that's why.
I was under the assumption that we control all of that except for the area right around the chapel right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is kind of an odd... What's left out of that area? We'll look at it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Councilmember Glover. Appreciate all your efforts on that. And to all else who participated in that. The first stage. This isn't the end. The first stage of your process. Appreciate that. Next item is to acknowledge receipt of minutes in various boards and committees. Have a motion from the Vice Mayor, second from Councilmember Cavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Councilmember Cavanaugh.
Mayor, just quickly, this morning I had yet another two-hour meeting of the working group between the Valley Metro Rail and Regional Public Transit Authority. Mr. Butler had assured me these would be short meetings. But I do want to report we made very significant progress today. We finalized our committee's recommendations on the employment agreement for a single CEO for Valley Metro Rail and RPTA. We finalized our recommendations on the intergovernmental agreement that will be necessary between the two entities to make it happen. This is a very important step, I think, for transportation in the Valley, and the Valley Metro Rail Board and the RPTA Board will be meeting on the same day next week on the 16th to hopefully approve the employment agreement and the intergovernmental agreements between the two entities. But there's been a lot of progress made. This is a project that I got assigned to work on in September, and we're finally moving to closure on this in a positive way. Thanks.
Good. Thank you. Anything else? Yes, comments, sir.
I would, thank you, Mayor, like to congratulate our Deputy City Manager, Carrie Kent, for receiving the Arizona City Managers Association Outstanding Deputy City Manager of the Year Award last week at our City Managers Association meeting. It was a big deal. So I was hanging with a rock star. Again, it's always nice to go somewhere where you are with the person who's the star. It's very fun. Congratulations.
That is outstanding. Outstanding. Mr. Brady.
Yes, just reminding the council, Mayor and Council, that Wednesday, February 8th, 3 p.m., the city will be dedicating four new plaques to our heritage wall. We talked about this last year during our strategic planning meeting. We'll be doing that out in front of Mesa City Plaza building at 3 p.m. We'll be part of our kickoff of Mesa celebration of the Arizona Centennial, and also the founding birthday for the city is in the same month. We'll be celebrating 134th birthday for Mesa. This Thursday, February 9th, we're on the council. We'll be doing kind of a supersized workshop. We'll be doing our five-year forecast for the council, as well as covering a variety of items related to upcoming strategic initiatives and items that are coming to the council. So we'll be doing that workshop beginning at 8 a.m. in the Apache Conference Room, which is the building that's just not part of the main convention center, but the one off on the northwest part of that. I think it was the parking lot that Dave wants to rebuild there. The Mesa Convention. We want to hurry up and use that building before he takes it down. The Mesa Convention Center building.
Careful, like moving to the what is it? The northeast corner of City Hall on the seventh floor.
So. Great. There will also be a public safety committee meeting on the 13th at 4 p.m. and our next study session, I mentioned the 9th this week, and then we'll have another one on the 16th. So thank you very much.
Did you mention the Dobson?
Oh, no. We have the breakfast with the Dobson Motor Association at this Wednesday at what time is that?
7:30.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. We have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Glover, second from Councilmember Higgins. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned, and we'll see you upstairs in just a minute.